Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to another episode of Can We Be Real? I'm Help Somebody, and we're here to help somebody to make a difference today. All right. Well, thank you. Good morning to you and a pleasant good day.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, sir?
I am wonderful and glad to be here. You know, I have to take a moment and just say thank you because at one point, you know, you were doing a show, I was doing a show, and we were on each other's shows from time to time. And then I don't know about you, but I took a hiatus from that. And so I just want to thank you for getting back out there in the conversation and dragging me along with you.
Yeah, it's been about a year. I took time off, and actually I saw how many people were listening to some of the previous recorded shows, and I said, well, I've got to continue to do this.
Yes, I'm glad you did.
Yeah, so it's really a blessing, and I appreciate it. Reverend James L. Jeffley is here this morning. And we're going to talk about the game of life and how to play it and what are some of the things we can do to exercise our wisdom, our power, understanding, and looking at the mind and how is success. Because let's just get right into it, because so many times people think that they're victims of circumstance or they can't control what is going on in their life. You know, they feel like they're caught in a rut. And my idea is that life is a game. And what are some of the things, because I know I've looked at your website, and some of the things that you've got on your website there at jamesjeffley.com, if you can change your mind, you can change your life. You want to tell us about that?
Yeah, well, you know, so many great thinkers, philosophers, whether they come from a spiritual background or something secular, have all basically said the same thing. I think once you reach a certain level of consciousness and understanding, you've had certain experiences and revelations, you start to really get the nature of things and understand truth. Truth you will not find in a book, in any book. I think truth is one of those things that is revealed to you through the process of being in this game and playing it for a while. And at times, being able to step outside of it and look back on it from the sidelines to see what the other people are doing in it. And one of the things that I think I have learned is that everything I experience through a certain lens. Like when you go to the optometrist and they put that phoropter on your eyes and you have to look through there and you play that game, better, worse, better, now, right?
Right.
I think we are all experiencing life through a set of lenses that we got from our parents early on in life that tells us how to look at things.
Sure.
And so, and you know, no criticisms against parents because they got a set of lenses from their parents, who got a set of lenses from their parents, and in many cases we've been handing down the same prescription for years through generations upon generations. And so if that prescription is one of lack, that sees the world through the lenses of lack, there is not enough, oh my, I don't have, oh, woe is me, then I'm going to play that game, the game of life, through the eyes of a victim, through the eyes of someone who is powerless, who does not know who I really am and cannot see my way past my circumstances to make a difference in my own life.
And that
but
is
not
so true.
Everybody wears that same set of lenses.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And in theological circles, we have a where they have different lenses where you look through life, and some of us, you know, we can put on those different glasses, and some people are naturally just normally upbeat and excited, and then other people, they operate more out of fear rather than faith. And and if something is not done in faith, it's often based in fear. When we look at life and say we have a fearful disposition, or we've had some bad turns, we've had some bad luck, or things are coming against us, what are some of the things we can do to turn that game around, maybe flip the coin?
Well, a couple of things come to mind. One, and this is sort of an interesting thought, but it works, is to take whatever you are catastrophizing to its most illogical, absurd extreme.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you think it's bad now, how much worse could it get? And just keep going with that. Well, you know, I could lose everything. Okay, could it be worse than that? Yeah, an asteroid could come and destroy the whole planet. Could it be worse than that? Right? And so after a while, for most people I've gone through this exercise with, you get to the point where you start to listen to yourself and just how absurd and ridiculous you really are.
Right.
And I think
right.
That's a turning point for some people. Go, okay, wait a minute. I'm just making this out to be much worse than it really is. You can get to that point. Then there's a ray of hope that shines in there where you can see, well, okay, well, maybe my situation isn't that bad. Another thing I can do is compare myself to somebody else. Okay, well, you know, every time I see somebody who is, I'm thinking, oh, man, I sure am tired, and then I'll see a person who has no legs.
Right.
Okay, wait a second. Okay, I'm complaining about this little thing. And you get to complain, but wait a minute, there's somebody out there fighting a harder battle.
Yes.
Oh, my bank account is low. Oh, you know, the foreclosure, the financial crisis, the job market, the housing market, this, that, and the other thing. There are people right now on the planet who have no place to live, who have
exactly.
no food, right? So, you know, there's always somebody fighting a harder battle than me. So if I can just come to terms with that and remember that, then my situation doesn't seem so dire. One other thing that just came to mind is how do I get out of that spiral of hopelessness or negativity is look at somebody else who is actually doing well. If somebody over there has got a loaf of bread, if somebody over there is sleeping in a box, if somebody over there is, you know, driving a new car, if somebody is exceeding beyond your wildest imagination, then what's true, what's really true is it's possible. It's possible for you to have, do, or be better than you are right now because that person is. Those people are. Those folks over there are doing well. So now it's a matter of, well, let me go find out what they're doing because maybe I can learn something from them.
And that brings up another idea of modeling success. And saying
yes.
that if someone is doing something and it took them 15 years to learn it, and I can speak with them and have a conversation of 50 minutes or 15 minutes or an hour or a couple hours, or even if I stood around them for a week and learned to do what they did successfully, so within 7 days I could gain what they had taken 15 years to learn, and just by employing the same behaviors, then I can create the same successes.
You know, it's possible. I mean, it's possible. I don't think it always, you know, mathematically works out that way. As they say in the commercials, your mileage may vary. But if somebody can figure out how to be successful, a little happier, a little healthier, you know, why can't you learn from that? And
right.
tweak it the way you need to tweak it to work for you. You absolutely can. And I guarantee you, you know this to be true as well. Somebody has done something that you want to do, have something that you want to have, is being something that you want to be, and they wrote a book about it.
Right.
They got a TV show. They got a radio show. They got a blog talk show. They wrote a blog about it. They did a testimony in church about it. Right. Wherever somebody is sharing some part of their success in the world, you just have to be tuned into that. You've got to be a seeker. If you want to have it as bad as you want to complain about not having it, then you can actually have it.
So the game in life, then, it becomes something almost like where we create our own reality in a sense.
Absolutely.
that the things that I emphasize with my thoughts, with my ideas, I tend to attract those things to myself.
That's what the whole law of attraction is about. You don't attract what you want. You attract what you are. Your thoughts have energy, and you're vibrating at a certain frequency with those thoughts. Like attracts like. Like attracts like. And so if I, If I am sitting there, woe is me, it's terrible, this is the worst thing ever, then I am simply attracting everything else in the universe vibrating at that low, negative, woe is me vibration. So why is it that when it rains, it pours? Because I only talk about rain.
Or misery loves company.
Misery loves company. That's exactly the law of attraction in a nutshell. But you know what? Flip that around. Joy loves company too. Success
yes.
loves company too. Birds of a feather
yes.
flock together. So if I'm not experiencing the results that I want in my game of life, then I got to ask, who's on my team? Who am I playing with?
Right.
One of the things I often do with people as a coach is I say, okay, write down the names of the five people you spend most of your time and energy with.
Mm-hmm.
And if those five people aren't having, doing, or being what you want to have, do, or be in your life, if they are not getting the results that you want to get in your life, in your game, then you need new team members.
Right.
Some new teammates. Not that they're bad people, it's just that you all are stuck in the same low-level consciousness thinking and low-level conversations that keep you in this spiral of losing after losing after losing. You know, there are sports teams who have had traditionally just a history of losing. And you got to ask, well, why is it? They spend a bunch of money, they get good players, they get managers, they change the staff all the time. Why is it traditionally they lose? Because there's a vibration of losing there. There's an expectation of losing. And so we can self-sabotage ourselves. Once we get close to, here it is, I'm about to win, and I stumble. Why do I stumble? Because somewhere in my consciousness, in my subconsciousness, is a more powerful belief than the affirmation that I say every day. The affirmation I say every day might be, oh, I can win, I can have it, I can do it. But if deep down inside I believe that I'm a loser, I will find a way to trip myself up. So I've got to be surrounded by other people who deep down believe, who know. At some point for me it's beyond believing, it's beyond faith. It's a deep internal knowingness that I can have, do, or be anything that I want.
And so within that, though, the beginning portion is I think we have to convince ourselves with knowing that our words do have power. When it says in Proverbs 18:21, life and death are in the power of the tongue.
Yes.
So many people, they'll repeat that scripture, but like you said, they will sabotage it once with, I call them the yeah, but. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's true, Reverend, but you don't know my circumstances. I was born, I was this, I was that, and everybody in my history is. And so when we can take the very history that we have known, and if it's not serving our purpose, but to literally to forget that history, the robbers of the time are the past and the future. And we should
yes.
bless the past and forget it. If it's holding us in bondage, but
yes.
we bless the future knowing that it has in store endless joy. But the thing is to live in the present right now.
Yes.
And I think
because
so many times
ahead,
we get caught up.
Mm-hmm. We absolutely do. And I want to take that word, history, and I want to break it apart just a little bit. His story. And her story.
Right.
His story and her story. You see, my life is a direct reflection of the story I keep telling.
Right.
And if I don't get past my story, if my story is one of lack, if my story
mm-hmm.
is one of pain, if my story is one of suffering, if my story is one of not being happy, right? Depression is something I talk myself into. Ask me how I know.
Right.
Depression is the thing we talk ourselves into.
Yeah.
Right? So, and we do that by telling the same old negative, disempowering story, which robs us of our energy, our creativity, our ability to think beyond whatever box we may have painted ourselves into. I'm not saying that folks aren't going through some hard times right now.
Sure.
I understand that.
Right.
But what I am saying is that there is a way out because I talk myself into the life I'm I'm living right now. Mm-hmm. I was a co-creator in my current experience. And
right.
one of the things that traps me in that is the story that I'm telling myself. Somebody posted a Facebook meme that said, the only thing standing in between you and what you really want is the BS story you keep telling yourself.
Right, right. It's almost like the story that I present and represent. As the young folks say, what I'm repping, what's my rep? How I
right.
represent the same story to myself. And then there was one wise man said that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing and expecting different results.
Absolutely. If whatever you represent, you will recreate in your life. So if you keep having the same experiences and getting the same results, it's because you keep retelling the same story, representing the same old information, and not thinking of a way to reinvent yourself, to recreate yourself, to do something different. If what you're doing isn't working, number one, you're doing it.
Yeah.
that should be empowering to you. If I take full responsibility for my life and stop blaming
yes.
other people for where I am, then
yes.
I have the power to change it. The moment I'm willing to say I have the power to make it the way it is, I now have the power to make it the way I want it to be. There may be some hard work involved. I might have to let some things go. I might have to change some relationships. I might have to make a completely new start. But you know what? I can do that.
Right.
I get to do that, and so do you.
Right,
the two most powerful words, the two most powerful words you will ever say are this, I am.
I am. Well,
I
that's
am.
What God said, I am that I am. And if we're
Thank
created
you.
In the image of God, in God's imagination, God created us, then what's true of God is true of me. Now, I may not
Thank
have
you.
All power, but I do have power over my free will and my choice in the present.
Oh, I may have more power than I'm even willing to imagine.
Yes.
Because, you see, I think there are very few Christians in the world. I know if you look on the website, it says it's something like 1.1 billion or something like that. But I think there are actually very few true Christians in the world. Because the true Christians looked between the lines, and they understood what the master teacher was saying. He said, it will be done unto you as you believe.
Yes.
He told you, you have the power to create your reality. It will be done unto you as you believe, not as I believe for you, but as you believe. He also said, great works I have done, you shall do even greater. Now, wait a second here. Now, if he was the man,
right.
okay,
right.
he was the one, and he is telling who? Regular folks. That they can do greater than him, then he is not the only child of God.
Right.
When they said, Lord, teach us how to pray, what were his first words? Our Father.
Yes.
Not my Father, our
right.
Father. True Christians, I think, understand that. They know that they don't have to get on their knees and pray to someone who is greater than them, all they have to do is look within and find the Spirit of Christ within them.
Yes, yes,
and they
yes.
can use that same power, that same Christ-like consciousness, that same Christ-like, God-like power to be creators of their own life. The other folks, the faux Christians, they're the ones who exercise constantly, and I'm not criticizing, I'm just making an observation, who constantly exercise the mentality of slavery. And disempowerment.
Hmm.
I am less than, and I have no control over my life, and I must wait for the kind, tender mercies and graces of one who is greater than me to change my circumstances because I can't do it myself.
Hmm.
That is the mind of a slave, and that is not from whence you come.
Right, right, right. And that's the essence of who we are, in that we have the potential, the pure power within us to create our own reality, to create anew, and to know that if we're caught in the trap of, you know, the seven greatest last words of any person or institution or community organization is, we never did it like that before.
Right.
Because we get caught in the trap of sameness. And so if we're doing the same thing today as we did yesterday, then our future is our past.
Yes.
And so how the key to it is to live on purpose and to live with passion. And you're listening to Help Somebody with Reverend Up, James L. Jeffley. Now tell them why you call yourself Reverend Up here on Help Somebody. And please tune in. You can follow me on Facebook, I'm Help Somebody, and on Twitter, Help Somebody. But this is Reverend James L. Jeffley. Reverend Up, tell them about that.
Well, my catchphrase is Up Yours.
Yes.
And that's not an insult. It's an invitation for people to raise their consciousness up to a higher level, to raise their thinking to a higher level, to raise every part of their life up to a higher level of joy and happiness and alignment with their true nature.
Yes.
And so I have a little fun, you know, when I say that, but I do mean it as an invitation to raise your life up. If you feel down right now, pick it up. I'm not saying you have to go from the gutter to the, you know, to the governorship or the presidency or the, you know, the whatever, but you can do a little better than you're doing right now.
Yes.
You can be a little happier than you are right now. And sometimes, you know, all it takes is for you just to change the way you think. Sometimes it's just all it takes is for you to just be in service, right? Well, I don't know how to reinvent my life, but let me go over here and be of service to somebody else.
Right.
Let me go help somebody. If I don't know what the next step is in my life, let me go help somebody else take a step in theirs. Whether that's sweeping somebody's porch off, shoveling some snow, helping somebody with their groceries, volunteering somewhere at a shelter, whatever it is, just be in service. Because if you can do that, you can make a difference.
Sure,
you can make a difference in somebody else's life. And the power in making the difference is the power to shift you to make a difference in your own life.
Another thing I want to talk about, too, is our outlook, our perspective. And one of the things that I say often is that successful people do not fail. They just don't fail. What successful people do is that they have results and they have outcomes, because even if they may not win the game, they never lose the lesson. So they can look at the results, they can look at the outcomes and modify or refine them. And so if we're going to create a fresh outcome, And how is it so important to treat people fairly and to do unto others as you would expect them to do to you?
Well, it's very important, but I tend that's the golden rule. I tend to look at the platinum rule: do unto others as they want to be done, as they want you to do unto them. So in other words, don't treat others the way you want them to treat you. Treat them the way they want to be treated. Because you may not want to be treated the way I want to be treated.
There you go.
So let me get to know you and find out what's important to you, and then treat you that way. And then you're getting what you need, not what I think you need based on viewing the world through my lens, right?
But that's taking the risk to getting to know somebody, though.
Oh, preach now.
And this a dangerous world? You know, we're all reading 50 Shades of Grey.
Oh, I'm not reading it. I don't even know what it's about. I just know that some folks are talking about it.
Well, that's the problem, is that we've got all these different portions of gray where things are murky and gray and dark and gloomy and it's pending disaster. And God help those where the hurricane's coming. It's 1,000 miles wide and to make the people come through it. But often we can create and recreate our lives. And if it is dark and gloomy, that we can actually brighten our lives and look at yellows and pinks and oranges and purples to actually enhance our life and give it purpose. So how do you enhance your life?
I've got to align myself. I've got to surround myself with things that are operating at a higher frequency, a higher vibration than I may be in the moment. So whether that's putting on some uplifting, inspirational music, or listening to something that's funny or humorous, because laughter is great medicine, right?
Yes.
Or being around people who are consistently joyful and grateful, Those are things that help me to raise mine. One of the things I do from time to time is I'll sit down and I'll make a little gratitude list. You know, I'll just wake up and say, here's what I'm grateful for. I'm grateful for my life, my wife, my son, the dog. I'm grateful for, I have my list. And when I go to bed, I say what I'm grateful for, because I want to wake up and I want to go to sleep with my first and last thoughts being gratitude. Because if I can do that, then I end the day and I start the day on a little happier note. You know, I have traveled a fair amount in my lifetime, and I can remember getting on planes sometimes thinking, oh, I had an argument at home or something didn't quite work out the way I wanted it to, and not really feeling my up self. And, you know, looking at the weather, it was cloudy and rainy, and, you know, I'm looking at this and go, wow, the weather is really sort of a metaphor for my life right now. But then as we take off and we go through the bumps of the clouds and we rise above that, I always know as well, the sun is shining up here.
Yes.
The sun is shining up here. So no matter what the circumstances are, what the appearances are down below where it looks cloudy and rainy and foggy and whatever, I know if I can go high enough, if I can raise my thoughts and my vibration high enough, the sun is always shining. The sun is always shining. So I just got to constantly up mine.
Yes. And get above those clouds and knowing that there is a sunshine behind that. And we're coming down to the last 3 minutes of the show. But before we go, I just kind of want to touch on, and quickly, if you have an opportunity to kind of bring it succinct, what is being greedy and stingy and hoarding do to one's spirit?
That stems from a fundamental belief in lack.
Mm-hmm.
It stems from a fundamental idea of that there is not enough. And so if there's not enough, I got to get mine.
Right.
Got to get mine. And I don't care whether you get yours or not, because I got to get mine. But what I have come to experience is that the world is abundant. There's more than enough food, there's more than enough water, there's more than enough shelter, there's more than enough everything for human beings, for all of our basic needs to be met, right? There is more than enough. And
right.
So, you know, you have a lot of folks out there in the world who act like there isn't, or they just got to have so much more than everybody else, which stems from this need to, you know, it's either based on a belief in lack or it's based on a belief in I need to control somebody.
Yes, yes.
He who has the most toys wins.
Mm.
Well, you don't take those toys with you when you die. They just put you in a box and that's it. Your toys don't go with you.
That's it.
So
that's it.
You know, poverty is not created by a lack of anything. It's created by a lack of love. It's created by a lack of compassion. It's created by the idea of separation, that I am separate from you and therefore have no connection to you, and I am not responsible to or for you. That's the philosophy of the Ayn Rands of the world, right? We believe that, well, it's just me for me, and let the other guy take care of himself. But it's more than I am my brother's keeper. I am my brother and my sister too. What affects you affects me. What affects me affects you. We're all in this thing together, folks.
Well, Reverend Upman, I have appreciated you.
That helps you.
I have appreciated you so much. We're down to the end of the time. We're going to have to come back and do it again and maybe get into some more detail for the people. But, hey, this show is here. It's called Help Somebody. And we're here to help somebody to make a difference. So hopefully heard something today that can make a difference in your life, knowing that we are human. And the same root word gives us human, humor, and humility. So if you find a human who can't laugh, often they're not very humble either. So laugh a little more, love a lot more, make this world a better place because you can. Love is the key. Love will open the door to your heart, your imagination, and open the floodgates so that you'll have more than enough for your life and for those around you. Be the inspiration that you see. Be the change in the world. According to Gandhi, he said, be the change that you want to see. Because the game of life and how we choose it, how we live it, is all up to us. I'm Help Somebody. I'll be here again. Check with the website and see us on Facebook at Help Somebody. Follow us on Twitter. We appreciate you. God bless.
Bless.